following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Progressive Insurance presents Flo's newest song. We compare rates to give you confidence.
We compare rates to find you a great deal, so you can be even more confident. Not that you need more confidence. I'm sure you're a great person with great posture. And you probably look really good in corduroy pants, which isn't easy.
Comparing rates to help you save. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
This is a 600-ton ore hauler. Miners use it to move 400 tons of earth in extreme conditions. Okay, got it. Now this is your car. You use it to move 180 pounds of you. Okay. And this is Peak Antifreeze. Peak Antifreeze's unique formula helps protect your engine from costly repairs, so you can protect your ride no matter what you drive.
Peak Antifreeze. When you peak, you win.
From the great Atlantic Ocean to the wide Pacific shore, from the Sooners to the Tigers to the Buffaloes next door, we'll fight them all with honor, stand tall above the rest. The Huskers of Nebraska are the ones that we love best. See that line of blockade, watch those backs move out. Heading for the goal line and a touchdown, there's no doubt. Fast as a mighty jet plane, smooth as a brand new car. Every player with the big red is a football superstar.
That was a joke.
Empty backfield now. Cousins awaits the shotgun snap. He has it. Holds over the middle. Pass is intercepted. Lance Sorrell. 45, 40. Lance Sorrell to the outside. 30-yard line. Knocked out of bounds. Lance Sorrell. Brett's kick sailing towards the uprights, and the kick is good. And Maher drills one from 51 yards out.
This is a 29-yard field goal attempt to win the game for Nebraska. In what would be a miraculous comeback in the final 40 seconds. Brown for the win. The kick is up. And it's good. He got it. Nebraska wins it.
28-26 is our score. Kickoff into the end zone will be brought out by Abdullah. Abdullah, a little bit of shake and bake. With room to run. What kind of speed do you have, young guy? Down the right sideline. He's got a chance. Yes. Touchdown, Nebraska.
Third down and 20. Win. Good protection, pass to the sidelines, good. Out of bounds at the 25. Todd Brown made the catch, and Quinn hit him right on the numbers.
Fake the handoff, back to throws. Martinez looking downfield, has a man out there, pass caught, touchdown. Quincy and Unwa, and the Huskers back to it in a score.
Big down, third to long five. Getting to the end zone, and very close to it was Dean Steinkohler. He's in for a touchdown.
Stretch play to Bell, trying to get to the outside. Compton hits him and drops him to the 10. What a play by Will Compton.
Backfield in the eye, wide outs both ways. And here is a fake. Druckenmiller on the keeper, loses the football. It's picked up by the Huskers, and they're going to run it in. Jason Peter for the score.
Snap back to Taylor. Fakes the handoff, looking to throw. Guns, pass, caught. Cotton, 15, 10. Bam to the 5. Dives for the end zone. He's down at the 1-yard line. Ben Cotton.
And the pitch to Warner. Gets it up about the 29. Jimmy Williams comes up with a football, and Nebraska's got it. Jimmy Williams came out of the stack with a football.
Back to throw is Cousins, holding, looking, going downfield, looking for Cunningham. He goes up, ball knocked away at the last second. Stafford was there, so was Ciante Evans.
We are ready to settle the Big 12 football championship deep in the heart of Texas. Major Applewhite back in the pocket. Eludes one. Husker is in trouble, and down he goes. Warren Kaiser was there.
And the Cornhuskers will go for two. They trail 17-15. Full house backfield. Frazier will throw. It's good. Two-point conversion. Eric Alford made the catch. Game tied at 17.
Fumble picked up on the bounce by Keithan. And now down for Mitchell. Double team. And Mitchell got it.
Tater in the shotgun. Burkhead off to his right. Snap back to Tater. Holds it. Looks. Throws. Pass. Caught. Kenny Bell. Dive. Touchdown.
Sal Jones, Malone setback from the 47 of CU. Frazier takes the snap. Gives it on a counter play. Jones runs behind a blocker. 45, 40, 35, 30, 25, 15. He's gone. Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown.
How about the biggest comeback in school history?
Option far side, back to throw is Martinez. Now being chased, throws it out in a flat. Burkhead makes a catch, sits a tackle. 25-20, 15-10, 5. Rex Burkhead, touchdown Nebraska. And the Huskers are to within a point.
Holy moly. Man, woman, and child did that. Put him in the aisle.
Fourth down and 8. The ball at the 24-yard line of Miami. But they're down by 7.
Now Wildcat set. Burkhead awaits the snap on 2nd and 10. Marlowe in motion. They give it off to Marlowe off the jet motion. On 35, Marlowe to the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. Tim Marlowe knocked out of bounds inside the 5-yard line at the 1-yard line. Tim Marlowe takes the handoff for 39 yards.
Option play, the pitch to Irving Fryer around the right side. Irving Fryer could be gone. Irving Fryer, touchdown.
And good Friday morning, everyone. The final Friday of 2012. Time for a Doug and Daddy show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Friday program. Are you fired up, Jimmy?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Are you fired up for the football game? I know you're ready to go for the show, but are you fired up for the football game? Because that whole, we play that open on the Friday before every game, and it just felt different playing it today. Now, we can do it again on Monday, of course, because the game's on Tuesday, but I just don't get that fired up feeling from Husker Nation for this game.
You know, I tell you what, I actually remember the 45-6 game in the Sun Bowl when Nebraska beat Georgia, and Paul Rogers kicked 4 field goals, and he broke the record, you know, for the most field goals kicked in one game. He did them all in the first quarter.
Oh.
You know, and when I looked that up a little bit just the other day, the thing that amazed me in the Sun Bowl, there were 29,000 people there. That was what the attendance for the game was, 29,000. But, you know, seemed like a big deal to me at the time. You know, Nebraska hadn't gone to a bowl game for a while, and Van Brownson was the quarterback, and then he got replaced by Jerry Taggy later, you know, as a sophomore. Yeah. So it was kind of an interesting when I looked up and just saw it and reminisced it a little bit.
One of the games that got Nebraska pointed in the right direction. Maybe this would be a game that gets – and I hate to say that because I think Nebraska is pointed in the right direction. Other people will disagree with me on that. But your thoughts today, folks. Send us an email. Send us a Facebook chat. Of course, Facebook is Central Nebraska's ESPN Superstation. And you can go to our Facebook page along with voting on our poll question, checking out our podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com. You can like Facebook there and write on whatever you would like to send to us. Of course, the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Coming up on the program today, Chip Towers from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution will join us momentarily to give us the Georgia perspective. Steve Sippel from the Lincoln Journal-Star will join us at the bottom of the hour, live from Orlando, to give us the latest on the Huskers through 2 practices down there. But still interested, are you fired up for the Capital One Bowl? Let us know. Email us, Facebook us. We'd love to hear from you on the program today. A lot of high school basketball tournaments got underway yesterday. More of them go today. And we will be bringing you all of the games from the Amherst Holiday Tournament here on ESPN Radio starting at 1:30. Kearney Catholic, North Platte, St. Pat's doubleheader. What a matchup that will be. Both girls' teams are undefeated, and the boys' teams have just one loss between them, and that came with St. Pat's losing to Valentine. And then a doubleheader at 5 o'clock, Amherst taking on Ogallala. While on Classic Hits 98.9, we'll be bringing you the final day of action from the Ravenna Holiday Tournament starting at 1. So some busy basketball out there. Kearney High boys and girls won yesterday. Hastings boys and girls lost in the GNAC tournament. Adams Central boys and girls won. St. Cecilia begins today. So plenty of action going on, Jimmy.
Yes, there is. Yeah, if you're looking for a high school basketball game, you'll be able to find one today for sure.
So if you want to check those out, go ahead and do so. And we will also have them for you on the web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. College football bowl games yesterday, there were some interesting ones. It looked like Duke was going to win their first bowl game since 1960, Jimmy. But they fumble it going in for the lead on the 5-yard line with a minute 20 to go in the ball game, and then Cincinnati turns around and hits an 83-yard bomb to win that game. Then they get a pick six in the final moments to make it a 14-point ball game, and of course get the cover, which I think they already had. But Duke, so much was on the line there for them. They hadn't won a bowl game in nearly half a century, and that poor kid that fumbled the ball on the 5-yard line, he's going to have a tough offseason.
Yeah, that was a tough break for them. You know, they came to play. They got up 16-3 in the first quarter, but you know, like you say, the tough break for them, and a kind of a tough break for all the Duke followers.
Yeah, they can win in the basketball court, though, right?
Yeah, there you go.
And for Cincinnati fans, kind of a bad break, too, because their basketball team was playing at the exact same time at home, undefeated, and then they got beat last night 55-54 by New Mexico. That would not be fun. And Cincinnati basketball is good, but, boy, couldn't you think of a way to move that basketball game up a little earlier?
Did they? I wonder why they didn't. Do you think it was because of TV?
Oh, I'm sure it was because of TV, because Bob Knight was there.
Yeah, that was a huge upset in college basketball. I think they were a top five team. Is that correct?
Ranked eighth, yeah.
Okay.
Ranked eighth.
Okay, right, okay.
So that was their first loss. They're 12-1 on the season. And earlier in the day, it was San Jose State coming back to beat Bowling Green in the Military Bowl, 29-20. And last night, Baylor took care of UCLA. It was who was ever going to find a little bit of defense, and the Bears' defense came up with 6 sacks in the ball game, and they beat UCLA 49-26. That's shocking to me. But Baylor, how long is Art Briles going to hang out there? I know he just signed a contract extension, but boy, he's doing some good things.
Yeah, he is. You know, one thing I did notice about the bowl games, you know, you're looking for some way to find something if you're wagering a little bit on those, and it looked to me like the Pac-10 or Pac-12, you would call them, you know, other than Stanford and Oregon, the rest of that group has really struggled in the bowl games.
Well, a lot to go, and of course, the first Big Ten team to play will be tonight when Minnesota takes on Texas Tech, and that's the Meineke Car Care Bowl. You'll hear it at 8 o'clock right here on ESPN Radio. Then tomorrow, TCU plays Michigan State, and then you've got 5 more Big Ten teams that are playing on New Year's Day. And again, they still are underdogs in every one of those games.
Yeah, it's not surprising, though.
888-455-ESPN. If you'd like to join us, as you can tell, a little bit of what's going around has caught up with me, and so we'll try and battle through that. And that's no fun to be a little wore down during the holidays. Hope it doesn't affect any of the athletes that are playing today, or the Tri-City Storm hockey team, who's going to be busy with 3 games in the next 4 days. The Storm home tonight to take on Lincoln, 7:30 face-off at the Viero Event Center, and then they play at Omaha tomorrow, and then they're home Monday for a New Year's Eve 5:05 face-off with Cedar Rapids, and you can hear all of that on the Breeze 94.5 FM. College basketball, the Huskers, the Lopers, the Broncos all get back in action this weekend. Up first, the Bronco men taking on the 7th-ranked team in William Penn. They're averaging 102 points a game, Jimmy. 102 points a game. That's an average.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You get 102 points a game, you're not going to have a lot of times where that shot clock's going to have a lot of shot clock violations. You know, it's going to be moving in a lot of tempo.
Well, and Hastings has been getting up and down the floor most of the year, so you can hear that at 4 on 1230 KHAS. Doug and Daddy's show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation on this Friday. Doug Duda along with Jim Langan. We're pleased to once again be joined from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution by Chip Towers as he follows the Georgia Bulldogs in their New Year's Day matchup with the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Chip, thanks so much for the time once again. How are you?
Hey, no problem. Fine. Just negotiating this crowds in Orlando, Florida. A lot of people, a lot of crowds down here for. There's a bowl game today between Virginia and Rutgers in the Russell Athletic Bowl, and of course you got Georgia and Nebraska in the Capital One Bowl, and apparently a lot of people come to Orlando just to go to the Magic Kingdom as well. So it's a bustling scene down here.
Well, I know it's still a little early. I would think most of the fans would start arriving over the weekend sometime, but that's going to be an unusual occurrence for Nebraska. It sounds like Georgia is going to outnumber Nebraska at this bowl game, which would be almost not a rarity, but has never probably happened in the last 30 years. How much of an advantage is that for Georgia? And just has that been talked about how weird that might be, Nebraska not being followed like they have been in the past?
Well, actually, you're telling me something I didn't know. I wasn't aware of that Nebraska wasn't traveling well to that. But I am surprised from the standpoint of well, like you're mentioning, I mean, when I think of the Nebraska Cornhuskers and the Big Red Machine, you know, I mean, I think about them traveling in droves and, of course, selling out every home game and all that kind of stuff. So that does surprise me. How do I think it'll affect the game? Not at all. I mean, you know, my experience with bowl games, you know, it's really not about the atmosphere. And unless it's there's some kind of championship on the line, usually it's, you know, there's not electricity and momentum to be exchanged and battled for. You know, it's it really comes down to blocking and tackling, and I think that's where the issue will be decided next Tuesday.
Hey, this is Jim Langan talking right here, and the one thing that really came out that I was thought it was a major change in this game, and is that with John Jenkins not being able to play in this game. He reminds me of Sue that he played for Nebraska.
Yeah, no, that's huge. No pun intended. I mean, you know, John Jenkins, 6'3", 358 pounds, which I heard a lot of people scoff at that weight, that he was actually weighing much more than that, but you know, it's not just being big, as we all know in football. He was a guy that not only played nose guard, but they popped him outside to play end and, you know, kind of that three-technique, five-technique tackle. He would pop out there and almost, you know, never come off the field because Georgia, you know, in terms of losing him in nose guard, Georgia has another nose guard. Kwame Gathers, 6'6", 355 pounds, just an absolutely huge guy like John Jenkins. Comes from an NFL family, Jumpy Gathers, Robert Gathers, Clifton Gathers. You know, he'll be able to step in and fill that role. But the depth and versatility you have on the defensive line is supremely affected, and that's going to be an issue against Nebraska, and they're running at that.
That just doesn't seem fair that you can replace Jenkins with a kid that's as talented as Gathers and that big. And that has become the thing that has kind of come to the forefront here the last few days. And we're talking with Chip Towers from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Offensively and defensively on that line, Georgia is just so much bigger than Nebraska. Is there any doubt that they're just going to line up and try and bull rush Nebraska defensively and run them over offensively?
Well, I mean, you know, there's some doubt, yeah. But, I mean, that, you know, I think if you look at the success of the Southeastern Conference the last decade, really, that's been the difference. It's been the not just the size, but the athleticism that they've been able to come up with on the interior lines offensively and defensively. And Georgia is a big team. They're a massive team. But, look, you know, Alabama had a lot of success against them in the SEC championship game, ran for 350 yards. That, you know, was unusual against Georgia. They played a couple of option teams toward the end of the year where they gave up 300 yards. But generally, Georgia's been pretty good. It's tough in the run because of the guys that we mentioned. I think, you know, linebackers like Alec Ogletree and Jarvis Jones are going to be as important as anything else to contain in the Nebraska rushing attack. But on the flip side, Georgia's offense, it's not just being able to run and having big linemen to block. They're an extremely balanced offensive football team. They do their passing on play action, and they run with Todd Gurley and Keith Marshall and Ken Malcolm. So that's going to be the challenge for the Cornhuskers for sure.
You know, Georgia a couple years ago, I know they went down, I think it was in the Orange Bowl, and you can correct me if that is incorrect, but they played Hawaii, who was undefeated, and I think Georgia was like an 8.5, you know, 9-point favorite, but really competed well and just complete control of that game. And since then, you know, Georgia's always been like one of the preseason favorites to be, you know, maybe the number one ranked team, and the program's really headed in the right direction. And then this year, everybody kind of forgot about them a little bit, maybe, you know, and then here they came in there. So your comments on that?
Well, the game you're referring to was actually a Sugar Bowl against Hawaii, and Georgia did absolutely steamroll them. That was in January 2008. Georgia's lost their last two bowl games, so that's a big point of motivation in this one. A couple of years ago, they played Central Florida in the Liberty Bowl, and that was one of those games where, and I think this has everything in the world to do with bowl success. They played Central Florida in the Liberty Bowl and were completely unmotivated, didn't want to be there, and really played like it. Meanwhile, Central Florida was like the Super Bowl for them, you know, getting a chance to play an SEC team. And then last year, Georgia really blew. They blew a 16-0 lead and lost in triple overtime to Michigan State. Again, I thought a little bit of lack of focus on the Bulldogs' part in that game. Motivation for this one, it's really hard to determine who's more motivated for this game. You know, certainly Georgia disappointed coming off the loss in the SEC championship and a chance to play for the BCS national championship, but then Nebraska coming off that debacle in the Big Ten game. So, which team is going to be most motivated in this? I think that's the biggest question going into it.
Yeah, Chip Towers with us from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug, due to Jim Langan, and we talked about that a little over 2 weeks ago. There's this motivational standpoint. Nebraska's just had a couple of practices in Orlando. Have you been able to get any sense over the last 3 weeks if Georgia is a little more motivated than we thought they would be?
Yeah, I'm I don't know. It's so hard to tell when you're talking about psyche of teams, but. And being the beat guy, you tend to be a little bit more cynical, a little bit more critical. And I see Georgia having the danger of being a very distracted team. They got a bunch of guys considering turning pro. Jarvis Jones is a junior, probably going to turn pro. Alec Ogletree is a junior, probably going to turn pro. Kwame Gathers is a junior, probably going to turn pro. You got a bunch of other seniors who are playing their last game. I think there's an enormous potential for distraction on Georgia's part. Now, certainly I don't have as strong a gauge where Nebraska's concerned, but from what I've heard, reading their quotes and reading the stories coming out of their camp, they're pretty fired up at getting a chance at redemption and getting a do-over after that Big Ten championship. So I would give Nebraska a slight edge when it comes to motivation.
Let's talk a little bit. I was reading your last couple of articles in there. If they are going to line up and run the ball, Nebraska knows a lot about dumping the ball off to their tight ends. Your most recent piece there in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution talks about maybe getting the tight ends even more involved in Tuesday's game. Kind of elaborate on that.
Well, Georgia has a really strong tradition of producing great tight ends. They have a bunch of tight ends in the NFL right now, and have traditionally gone to them a lot, but they weren't early this year. Part of that's because their starter, Arthur Lynch out of Boston, is a big, strong guy, but not really a pass-catching guy. Jay Rome, who also plays the position with him, is much more athletic. He's a basketball player, 6'6", 260 pounds, and got some moves and some real ups, and they found him to be a good target. He had a 19-yard touchdown catch against Alabama in the SEC championship game, and those guys scored caught one or more passes apiece in each of the last five games. So I see them being, kind of an alternative for Aaron Murray in the passing game. Georgia lost two wideouts to injuries, Marlon Brown and Michael Bennett. So they kind of turned to the tight ends more late in the year. I suspect that'll be the case again on Tuesday.
Just a couple of minutes left with Chip Towers here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Chip, would you categorize, I see that he's one of the four kids that got the Coach's Leadership Award, would you categorize Aaron Murray as the leader of this football team?
Oh, yeah, without question. Aaron Murray is, he's one of those guys that we've all covered. You know, he's an incredible overachiever. He's an incredible worker. Does the right thing, says the right things. Almost like a Stepford wife as a quarterback. He just does everything that you would want your quarterback to do. And he's actually a psychology graduate student in industrial psychology and wrote a bunch of papers and did a bunch of leadership projects that he incorporated into his leadership on the team. Actually had the players fill out a survey of what they thought he did well, what he didn't do well, and what he could do better from a leadership standpoint. So, yeah, Aaron Murray is a tremendous player, and I think that's one thing Nebraska fans will enjoy getting a look at. Just like Georgia fans, I know, are excited about a chance to see Taylor Martinez, a guy they've seen highlights on SportsCenter, but, haven't been able to see in a 60-minute game. I think, Nebraska fans will enjoy watching Aaron Murray as well. He's an incredible decision-maker as a quarterback.
I looked at the season and how you did, and there was just about a 2 week area where you didn't play very well. You beat Vanderbilt 48-3, which is just amazing when I see that score. But then, you beat Kentucky 29-24, and then that's when the next week you lost to South Carolina. Was there anything that happened during those 2 weeks, or was it just a couple down weeks?
Well, actually, the order that came in, they lost to South Carolina, and then they played Kentucky in the next game, and that was before the Florida game. The Kentucky game is one of those kind of throwaway games. Georgia was playing on the road after an off game, after losing to South Carolina. Kentucky was terrible. They were already talking about firing firing Joker Phillips, their coach, and Georgia kind of, it was one of those deals where they felt like they could roll the red helmets with the G on them out on the field and be able to win. They just didn't play very well in that game. The very next week, they, you know, played number two Florida and beat them, down in Jacksonville, Florida, and played one of their better games of the year defensively. So, I just think it was a throwaway game. That South Carolina game they lost, I've told people, anybody who was there, it's one of those situations, game day was there. You had the national attention. I don't care if Alabama or the Pittsburgh Steelers were going into Williams-Brice Stadium that night. Nobody was going to beat South Carolina that night. It was just a frenzied place. The entire stadium was shaking most of the night, and it was number six against number five ranked teams, and the number six team was at home. Nobody was going to beat them that night.
Finally, Chip, we've got a more of a graduate assistant and pseudo-assistant tight end coach that is taking another job, but he is with the team for the bowl game, and Vince Merrill. What about Rodney Garner? What's his status, and how will that affect the defensive line?
Well, that's a good question. Rodney Garner is not here. He took the job at Auburn, his alma mater. He's going to be assistant head coach, recruiting coordinator, and D-line coach there, just like he was here at Georgia. He's been at Georgia for 15 years. Just put scores and scores of defensive linemen in the NFL. So I think it's a factor. He's not going to coach in the bowl game. He's already started at Auburn. Defensive coordinator Todd Grantham, I just got through talking to him this morning. He's basically handling, the D-line teaching and game planning and in meetings and such. And they've got a graduate assistant by the name of Brandon Wheeling, who is coaching them, during drills and stuff during practice, and they're not going to bother with hiring a D-line coach until they get back to Athens on January 2nd. So, I think it's a factor. I don't think it's a huge factor, but Rodney Garner, just his presence in practice, you can definitely see the absence in practice down here in Orlando this week.
Chip, fans always like to get predictions. Would you like to give us one for Tuesday's game?
Oh no, I hate doing predictions. I'm a sports writer. I pray for a quick game and I can make a deadline where the outcome is clear before the end of the fourth quarter. I think it's like anything else. I think it'll be better than most people think. I think Georgia has more talent, and I think Georgia is right to be favored. Whether they'll play, up to that. The motivation factor, I have no idea. It should be a good game.
And, Chip, if folks want to continue to follow you and follow what's going on with the Georgia up to the bowl game, how can they do that?
Well, you can read my blog at AJC.com. Just click on UGA, and you can find the UGA blog, and we're updating it constantly. I'll have something up here shortly as soon as I get back to my hotel to report on this morning's practices.
Chip, it's a pleasure chatting with you. Hopefully we can do it again. Enjoy the time in Orlando.
All right, thank you.
Take care. Chip Towers with us on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Doug Duda, Jim Langan from the Atlantic Journal-Constitution. I think Nebraska, and I'm one of them, we're trying to find a chink in the armor. Anything that's a hole that could be an advantage to Nebraska, and I think Rodney Garner not being there on the D-line, I think that helps, and I think that's where Nebraska's advantage can be in this football game, is outscoring Georgia in this contest. They're going to have to put some points on the board to win this game, I think, Jim.
Yeah, Georgia, they're only had four games where they played on the road this year. And all four of them, for the most part, they played like at Auburn. You know what I mean? And if you look at their schedule, other than, the way they competed against Alabama in that game, and then they did beat that Vanderbilt game. That's a 48-3. And if anybody that's seen Vanderbilt this year, they can play,
Good football team, there's no doubt about it. And we're going to talk to Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal Star about the Huskers out of practice today. And some breaking news from Sip. The Huskers have had another player leave the team. And I think it all kind of goes back to National Letter of Intent signing day, maybe from last year when his brother didn't show up. Todd Pete, which was reported yesterday, wasn't there today. Coach Pelini confirming that he's no longer with the team. We'll hear about how that impacts the Huskers with our main man, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star, in just a moment. But folks, Kerry and the gang have been very, very busy at Troutman's Quality Meats with New Year's and the bowl games. That means there's plenty of time to enjoy. Christmas has just been put in the book. You need to eat, and you always love to eat maybe even a little bit better. And you can do that with all of the great food at Troutman's with their USDA Choice Certified Angus beef. And their steaks are aged a minimum of 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness. Right now, fresh garlic sausage, Italian sausage, and brats fresh from the smokehouse. They've also got bacon and the peppered bacon. Oh, what a New Year's treat. Kerry has a few turkeys left over from the holidays, including lots of breasts, legs. It's all so good. Leftover bone-in and bone-out hams. So try some of Troutman steaks, fillets, prime rib. You can get whatever you want. So right there, we've got turkeys, we've got hams, we've got steaks, we've got prime rib, we've got fillets. That should take care of every single meal between now and the first of the year, plus the beers and wines to wash it down. And also, if you're just going to break that grill open a little bit, how about some all-beef wieners, brats, and jalapeno cheddar? They've got state fair brats, chili cheese dogs, ooh, andouille, and Polish sausage. He's really doing it up for the new year at Troutman's Quality Meats and New Year's Eve. Oh, maybe you're doing it yourself. Smoked salmon, king crab legs, fresh oysters, all available. How can he put all of that in his store? That's amazing. Troutman's Quality Meats. Stop by and see it and test it out for yourself. A grill's best friend in Kearney. We're back with Steve Sipple after this.
Heard on ESPN Radio.
Thank you for calling Discover Card.
I wanted to ask you a couple of questions.
I've got nothing to hide.
My bill is due today and I haven't paid yet.
Is that a confession?
Have I committed a crime?
Nope. With our new IT card, you can pay up till midnight Eastern Time by phone or online the day it's due.
Convenient. How do I know you're telling the truth?
Because I work for Discover Card.
Got a witness to verify that?
Just you. You called me.
Okay, that checks out. You recording this?
Yes, I am.
Good, so am I.
I would like a copy.
Copy that.
Copy that.
Copy that.
Finally, a credit card that treats you like you'd treat you. Payment flexibility. Get the new IT card at discover.com.
Hi, it's the Herd. Fans, the holidays are here, and there's one thing you need to avoid besides the mall parking lot on Christmas Eve. Talk about cutthroat. You'll want to be sure you don't have a bad gift. So give your friends and family a gift they're guaranteed to love with a gift certificate to StubHub. That way, if your buddy's been wanting to witness an upcoming rivalry or your mom wants to see the big show, you can make that happen for them. Much better than a pair of socks or a handcrafted bird feeder. So head to StubHub today and grab a StubHub gift certificate.
The Meineke Car Care Bowl of Texas on ESPN Radio. Tommy Tuberville has left Texas Tech for Cincinnati, but the Red Raiders must move on.
Picking up some blockers at the 50, breaks down to the 40, he could go!
They head to Houston to face the Big Ten's Minnesota Golden Gophers.
It's Minnesota and Texas Tech in the Meineke Car Care Bowl, Friday night at 8, here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
It's the Super Bowl prize party that keeps on giving. From Cunningham's Journal and Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Register at Cunningham's or Russell's Appliance and Electronics. You can even redeem ESPN Superstation Superfan Rewards Points. For more entry chances, just log into the Rewards Club store to redeem as many points as you want to for bonus entries. Oh, and about that keeps on giving part? Yeah. Well, if you win the Super Bowl party at Cunningham's, you get to keep the 72-inch big screen TV, a drawing week before Super Sunday determines the winner.
We'll see breaks of sun and some cloudiness in the area as well at times today, even a few flurries around early on, with highs in the mid-teens. Northwest winds stay at 5 to 15. Tonight we'll head back to a low of 1 above. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now it's 12.
The Doug and Daddy Show here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. We will be here on Monday for a New Year's Eve edition of the Doug and Daddy Show and more preview of the Nebraska football game against Georgia in the Capital One Bowl. Just had Chip Towers on from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution talking about the Bulldogs. Excuse me, there is the cold coming in, but it's very beautiful down in Orlando. Doug Duda along with Jim Langan here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star just out of Husker practice. Sip, how's it going? Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year to you, Doug and Jim. Just literally walked out of practice.
And you did have a little bit of breaking news this morning. I've already seen on your tweet. Why don't you fill the folks in?
I can't even remember what you're talking about. Todd Skeet. Not a big deal. I mean, it's, you know, as we do in as a media in Nebraska, we kind of made Todd Pete out to be Warren Sapp when he was recruited, but really he hasn't, you know, he just hasn't progressed very much, and he's no longer with the team. Bo confirmed it. I don't regard it as a big deal because I know I always say that, but he wasn't, he had hardly played, and I don't think he had much of a future.
How much did it hurt that his brother didn't come here? Is that all kind of playing off each other?
I don't know. You know, I wouldn't even want to say because I've never talked to Todd Pete. I know the things I do know is he got overweight. You know, he had an injury. He just got overweight. And then, again, I'm just going to tell you the things I know. I know that. And then I can tell you something I saw. And I saw him in the game against Idaho State. And he wasn't ready for Idaho State. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wasn't ready. He was not ready to play in the Big Ten. I can tell you that. I watched him. I mean, I zoned in on him for a couple plays, three or four or five plays. It wasn't going to work.
Steve Sipple joining us from Orlando here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Yesterday, Cole Pensick, sick like some of us are and couldn't make practice. Was he there today?
Yeah, he's fine. I talked to Cole after. He practiced the whole time and was pretty good. He's, you know, obviously you come off a virus, you're going to be a little weak, but nah, he looked good. In fact, I saw they're doing just a one-on-one drill, the offensive lineman against the D lineman, and he stood up Vincent Valentine and really got the best of him. So he's obviously, his legs look like they feel pretty good.
Hey, Steve, one thing I've got on, what is the reaction with John Jenkins there, you know, for Georgia not playing? I mean, I think that is such a huge impact. Of all the bowl games, I think the one player that I see that's not playing is him, you know, as the number one guy that I look at, think, hey, this guy's not playing. I think that's a tremendous advantage to Nebraska. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it is, too, now that you talk to the players and they don't, you know, it doesn't seem to – I don't know. They kind of play it down. And I think the reason they do that, and again, Jim, I agree with you. I think it's gigantic. I think the reason they do that is because Georgia does have a lot of talent otherwise. You know, I think the scary thing is the guys coming off the edge. I think their athleticism. I think that maybe gets the kids' attention a little bit more than the big, you know, the big nose tackle. But I know he can make plays. He makes them. So I just think that's a huge thing for Nebraska because I think you can already run the ball. I mean, I think with Jenkins in there, you can run the ball against them a little bit. Three straight teams have done it very well, including Georgia Southern. So I think that does obviously work in Nebraska's favor.
Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Both teams have an assistant coach that's going to be leaving the program, except Vince Morrow is staying with the Huskers through the bowl game. But Rodney Garner, their defensive line coach, I mean, he's been a mainstay for the Bulldogs, and he's not going to be there. How much of an impact do you think that can make as far as a check mark in the plus column for Nebraska?
You know, those questions are hard to answer because I'm not around that team. So I just don't know what kind of impact he has day to day. I mean, it's really hard to judge those things because of that. I think in some ways you got to be around him. Now with Vince, I think it's significant that he's here. I think it would have been significant had he been gone because even though he's a graduate assistant, he does work very closely with the tight ends, and he has a good relationship with them. It's, you know, it's a day-to-day thing, and I know that would have had something of an impact. But I don't know, D-line coach, you know what it depends on, Doug? It depends on how involved with the D-line, say, the coordinator was, or if somebody else was helping him with it. Then it's not so big, but I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. I wouldn't think that's that too big a deal.
Hey, Steve, could you do me a favor when you're down there? Tell Bill Pelini to put in some mixed direction plays, and I'm sure he'll listen to you. Maybe a reverse, you know, a reverse pass. Hey, you're at practice. Have they got anything or something, you know, that you're noticing? They're going, hey, this should be something that'll be exciting to watch.
Well, here's the thing. We watched the first – you know what? We watched quite a bit of practice today before they shoot us out. But when they get into that stuff, Jim, when they start working on – game planning stuff live, the media is not there, so I don't know what they'll do. I know a lot of people say that to me, that Bo needs to think outside the box a little, that Tim Beck needs to think outside the box. I kind of agree in a way, but in a way I also would point out that offense by nature is high risk. It's pretty high risk offense, just play to play. So, you know, but I agree. I tend to agree with you. I'd like to see a reverse. I'd like to see Rex maybe take a pitch and throw it downfield. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like Marlon Lucky was doing when he was here. I think they have the guys to do that. And here's the key. I think they've settled into their offense well enough to start doing that stuff. It didn't bother me at all last year that they weren't doing it, because they had a hard enough time running the base off. But now that they've settled in, that they've expanded the playbook, the kids are very confident in what they're doing. I think you can start adding wrinkles, and maybe we'll see them. And you know what? They probably need to do something like that in this game.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, when you're playing Iowa, you know, or somebody like that, and the wind's blowing 50 mile an hour, you don't want to get yourself in trouble either. Yeah. You know, you don't want to generate offense. I know when we played Colorado that one year, we ran that fake field goal behind to flip the ball, and all that did was generate, you know, some momentum for Colorado. So, but I'm just thinking, if we're going to stay in this game, we're going to have to do some things, and you know, and we haven't seen a reverse for a long time.
Well, I agree with you. I really do. And no, in Iowa, you couldn't do it. I mean, you weren't. That was just, you're in survival mode, and I'm not even exaggerating. But in this game, yeah, and I hate to say that Nebraska needs to go to gimmicks to win a game, because it kind of goes with my thinking, and I'm still getting used to the fact that a lot of fans I've talked to are just hoping Nebraska stays close. See what I'm saying? So now you're saying, well, they got to use tricks to stay in this game. I guess I'm still getting used to the fact that Nebraska, we're in that mindset that you just got to hope they stay close. And maybe if they use a few trick plays, they can do that. I don't know. It shouldn't be that way, you know. I guess that's where we're at right now, right?
Well, and you know, outside that Iowa game, it's not like Nebraska's offense has really struggled this year. Steve Sipple's with us from the Lincoln Journal-Star. Everybody just wants to know what the feel is. Sip, can you get a sense of the feel? I mean, both teams, what's the motivation? What is your feeling down there through a couple of practices and what you witnessed in Lincoln?
You know, it feels the same as last year, most bowl trips. It's relaxed. Now, is that good or bad? I don't know. At first, obviously, when Bo was, you know, in his first few years here, the Gator Bowl, you know, paid off. They beat Arizona, and that Holiday Bowl, it looked like that relaxed atmosphere was the way to do it. Now you wonder a little bit. I'd say it's status quo for what I've seen the past 4 years. Pretty businesslike. Kids are generally pretty relaxed. I'd say the field's fine, but I'd also add that I thought that last year. And you know what? They came out fine last year. It wasn't an issue last year. They were ready for that game against South Carolina. Now, against Washington in that Holiday Bowl, they lost 19-7. No way they were ready, but there's extenuating circumstances. But your question is good, because I did talk to Tom today, Osborne, a little bit, and he said so much of bowl games comes down to attitude and who's in the better frame of mind and who wants to be there, who wants to play. So that, I mean, that's big. That's a key question. But let's face it, guys, it's hard to say. I mean, you know, there's a lot of guys on the team here. It's hard to get a real good grasp of, you know, the collective feel unless you're around it a lot. But I'll tell you what, you're right. It's big. That's a big part of this deal. And I don't know. I think we'll, I can usually tell after the first few series how a team feels. And you know what? The game that really, you know, Tom brought this up. If you just turned the sound off down last night when you were watching Baylor, UCLA, Baylor clearly was the team that wanted that game. And that's what I mean. I mean, Baylor, their body language was completely different. And why? Well, UCLA coming off two tough losses, you know, tough loss in the Pac-12 title game. You know, Baylor kind of got things rolling late in the season, and you could tell. So, that's a big factor in this deal.
Sip, you think we'll see any new guys since there really isn't anything on the line except to win the game? Will there be some extra players in this football game? Are you hearing anything?
Well, no. Here's the thing I always answer that with. Who are we talking about? I mean, they're not very deep, Doug. I mean, they don't have guys that are sitting around. If they're good enough, they're playing right now generally. I mean, we always talk about David Santos. I mean, is he a surprise at this point? No. But he hasn't played a whole bunch lately. You know, maybe Ryan Reeves is a guy, or Jake Cotton is a guy you might see playing guard. Those are the names that I'd say that might surprise people a little bit, especially Jake Cotton and Ryan Reeves. But I don't know. With Pensick back, I don't know that you'll need those guys too much. So my answer to that is no. Now, we know all the guys. You know, we know who's going to play.
Steve, before we let you get out of here, we always had you give a prediction at the Husker lunch. You can do that if you want, but I'm more interested in knowing what has to happen for Nebraska to win this football game.
Well, I think old school all the time. It starts up front, and it starts up front. I wrote it today. I think the critical matchup is Georgia's offensive line against Nebraska's depleted defensive line. And that's the reason I don't like Nebraska in this game. I just don't think you beat Georgia with a 255-pound converted D end in the interior line, another interior lineman on one leg, and another one now with a big cast on his right arm who probably should be a backup anyway. It just doesn't. That's not changed. I mean, there's nothing different there. They talk a little bit about Kevin Williams playing, but. I mean, he's not going to suddenly become Warren Sapp. I just can't envision Nebraska winning right now when they're that depleted up front on defense. I just think Georgia, with that big offensive line and the way they play, physical team, two big running backs, that's the matchup that would concern me most.
Then, Steve, basically what you're saying is if Nebraska's going to win the game, they've got to get long drives, keep Georgia off the field. Burkhead's going to have to rush for 100-and-some yards, and Martinez is going to have to rush for a 100 yards.
Yeah.
It looks to me if they could do that, that would be the way to win because on defensively, Georgia, when they get the ball, is probably going to have success. Is that how you kind of see Nebraska maybe winning the game?
I do, but it gets a little complicated, Jim, because Nebraska's not a grinded-out team. Like I said, they're a high-risk offense. They want to move fast, right? Yeah. They don't want to let that play clock go down. Just grind it at teams. It's really not Tim's personality. But I do think that would be good. I just don't think you'll see it. I think it makes sense in that. I think that would be one way to win the game. But it doesn't make sense in that it's not Nebraska's personality. You know, I mean they want to fling it around. They want to put the gas pedal down, snap the ball with a lot of time left on the play clock and keep it going. So I don't know. Maybe they'll change. Maybe they'll alter their personality for this game. But I bet against that.
Well, if we have the lead in the fourth quarter, let's do that.
Hey, Sip.
Yeah.
Always appreciate the time. Hope everything was good for Christmas. Have a great New Year. Let's see if we can kind of shock the world and ring one in with a victory on Tuesday.
Thanks for having me on.
Take care, Zip. Guys. Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda along with Jim Langan in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, where Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, and Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram is open every day, including this Sunday, until the end of the year, because they know it's time for you to take care of some business, get that new or pre-owned vehicle, whatever you're in the market for, they can take care of you on the Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram lot, $3,500 off select Chrysler 200s. They've got a number of them in stock over at the Chevrolet Buick Cadillac lot. You can't go wrong with a Chevy Silverado 1500. They have up to $7,500 off in rebates and Midway discounts as well on the new Silverados. So stop by and see them at Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. With over 200 pre-owned vehicles in stock, you can check them out online, thinkmidway.com. Plus, they're open this Sunday from 12 noon until 5 o'clock at Midway Auto Dealership.
Almost done with the hors d'oeuvres. Soufflés are ready. Hey, Flo, how are those cupcakes coming?
Putting sprinkles on the last one now.
Great. Hey, I thought we had another tray of the red velvet. Have you seen it?
Me? What? Why would you? There's frosting on my face, isn't there?
Yep.
Insuring your business vehicles with Progressive is like having Flo on the road with you. 24/7 live support, online bill pay, and expert claims. Now that's Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. United Financial Casualty Company and Affiliates.
Don't miss the action on AuctionTime.com, where every Wednesday is auction day. AuctionTime.com features farm and construction equipment, trucks, trailers, and parts auctions ending every Wednesday. To bid on a machine, register for free on the AuctionTime.com website or from anywhere using an iPhone or an Android with the free AuctionTime.com apps. AuctionTime charges no buyer's fees and has no hidden reserves. Save time and money for your operation and visit AuctionTime.com.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see breaks of sun and some cloudiness in the area as well at times today, even a few flurries around early on, with highs in the mid-teens, northwest winds stay at 5 to 15. Tonight we'll head back to a low of 1 above. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now it's 12.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Got to get into that computer and update it. That's all I know. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on the program today, where we have an update on the bowl bonanza, and then Jimmy and I are going to finish out our bowl selections. It looks like so far I'm 4-2. Is that right? What do you got here?
2-2.
2-2. Well, how can I be 2-2? Oh, all those people are 4-0?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that said 4-2. Okay. We've got 10 people that have started off 4-0 in the Doug and Daddy Bowl Bonanza. Holy moly. How about that? Didn't know. Jimmy Langan missed the UCLA. You're 3-1 so far. Mike is 3-1. Mike Will, our guest host out of course, sports director in Hastings. Producer Jeff, he is 3-1. He missed UCLA. Randy Bushcutter, he's 3-1. He had Duke Ooh, that's got a sting. That would have given him a solid 4-0. So let's finish out our selections. 10 people that are 4-0 for our Doug and Danny Bowl Bonanza, sponsored by Russell's Electronics and Appliances, who are going to be giving away a nice 19-inch Toshiba LED TV to the winners. Also from Big Daddy's Deli on the top of the hill at 3905 North 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and in Hastings at 801 West 2nd Street, 610 East South Street. Stop by for a large combo meal today, a home of a bazillion sandwiches at Big Dally's Deli. All right, we go to the TaxSlayer.com Bowl. Mississippi State versus Northwestern. I'll take Northwestern. Jimmy?
Mississippi State.
Oh, you just want to be different. Outback Bowl, South Carolina and Michigan. You can pick first.
I'll go South Carolina.
Okay, I'll take Michigan for no apparent reason.
You just wanted to be different.
I just wanted to be different. Then the Capital One Bowl is up next. Georgia or Nebraska?
I'm going to take Georgia.
I want to pick Nebraska. I want to pick Nebraska. There's no way. There's just no way. I'll take Nebraska. The thing is, we keep talking about how they play so well when nobody thinks they're going to play well. But they always lose those games, too, 13-12 to Texas, the overtime game at Texas Tech. When you think you're going to go in and get blown out, Nebraska plays way better, but they still haven't really won those football games. I'll take Nebraska, even though I think Georgia is going to probably run the ball pretty successfully. Wisconsin versus Stanford in the Rose Bowl. Who you got?
I'm going to take Stanford.
I am going to take Wisconsin. That's right, I just picked four Big Ten teams. Northern Illinois versus Florida State in the Orange Bowl. I'll take Florida State.
Way to go out on the limb on that Thank one. You. I think I'm going to take him, too.
Sugar Bowl, Louisville, and Florida. Who you got?
I'm taking Florida.
That's who I'm taking. The Fiesta Bowl, Oregon and Kansas State.
I want Oregon.
I think all those distractions are going to hurt Oregon, and Kansas State will be better prepared going into this game. But who's the only team that beat K-State? Baylor. That's what Oregon does. I'm going to take Oregon in this game. In the Cotton Bowl, Texas A&M versus Oklahoma. I've been on Oklahoma for this game all since the day it was announced, and I'm taking Oklahoma to beat Johnny Heisman.
I think you're exactly correct, and I think Oklahoma rolls.
We go to the couple of games that don't matter, but you have to have college football before the national championship game. So the Compass Bowl, Pittsburgh versus Ole Miss. Who you got?
I'm taking Ole Miss.
I'm taking Pittsburgh. In the GoDaddy.com Bowl, Kent State and Arkansas State. I'll take Arkansas State just because that's who Nebraska played, and they don't have a coach either.
Yeah, it's hard for me to take Arkansas State. They were down 50-3 at halftime to Oregon. But, you know, they. I think I'm going to go with Kent State, but for no, I don't have no idea why.
All right, let's pick the national championship game today. We'll knock her out here. Notre Dame and Alabama. Who you got, Jimmy?
I'm taking Alabama.
And I am taking Notre Dame to win this football game. My final score prediction, because this was part of our bowl bonanza, was to put your total points. Mine is 33. I take Notre Dame 20 and Alabama 13. What do you think? Well, high scoring, low scoring?
I put down 41.5 is what I got. So I guess I'll say I'm gonna have to figure out the math on that half. Maybe they both get a quarter point.
That's outstanding stuff. Folks, you can keep up to date on your bowl picks at ESPNSuperstation.com. We're back to wrap it up after this.
GEICO presents a thank you letter from your motorcycle.
Hey there, buddy. I just wanted to say thanks. Ever since you saved money on your motorcycle insurance with GEICO, we've been riding a lot more, which means I've been able to really exercise these pipes of mine. Just listen to them. Sorry about that. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, yeah.
GEICO could help you save on your motorcycle insurance, and that should make you and your bike very happy.
This is a 600-ton ore hauler. Miners use it to move 400 tons of earth in extreme conditions. Okay, got it. Now, this is your car. You use it to move 180 pounds of you. Okay. And this is Peak Antifreeze. Peak Antifreeze's unique formula helps protect your engine from costly repairs, so you can protect your ride no matter what you drive.
Peak Antifreeze. When you peak, you win.
Available at O'Reilly.
Come on in, let the games begin.
You already know where you're going to be at midnight on New Year's Eve. We know where you should be for dinner.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill in Hastings, and I would like to invite you to join us for dinner on New Year's Eve. We will be offering prime rib and succulent crab legs starting at 5 p.m. until the steam pot is empty. And don't forget to designate a driver. HK Sports Bar and Grill, located at West J Street and Highway 6 in Hastings.
Come on in, let the games begin.
May a star lead you, the wind be at your back, the road rise to meet you, and may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. Happy holidays from everyone at Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
Fall is here, and for guys, that means one thing, football. Each week, nearly 12 million men settle into their favorite recliner to cheer on their favorite team. For men over 30, the inactivity creates lost muscle tone, reduced sex drive, and excess belly fat. This year, don't get sacked by the football season. Change your game plan with the help of Complete Nutrition's strongest, most potent youth energy and weight loss enhancer, the Charger Pack. With its new testosterone-infused formula, the Charger Pack delivers men over 30 the fastest, most undeniable results possible. Regain your muscle, recharge your libido, and sack stubborn belly fat with the Charger Pack, available exclusively from Complete Nutrition.
If you experience excessive weight loss in your first 10 days, please contact your Complete Nutrition consultant to adjust your plan.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of SunMart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
With every good wish for your holiday happiness, thank you for being our friends and customers. A very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from everyone at Hellman, Maine, Kostler & Cottle, CPA.
The Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Friday, the final Friday of 2012. Where did it go? Where did it go? Well, we've got high school hoops for you today. The Amherst Holiday Tournament here on ESPN. The Ravenna Holiday Tournament on Classic Hits 98.9. Who was the biggest Pro Bowl snub? That was our poll question yesterday. And boy, we have a very differing opinion out there. It was a tie at the top. Dez Bryant, Andrew Luck, Drew Brees. Nobody really thought that Roddy White was a snub, but everybody else had 31% of the vote. So that's how it all panned out. Now, our poll question for the weekend: which BCS bowl game are you most looking forward to watching outside of the national championship, of course? Which BCS bowl game, Jimmy, are you most looking forward to watching? Rose Bowl, Wisconsin Stanford, Orange Bowl, Northern Illinois, Florida State, Sugar Bowl, Louisville, Florida, Fiesta Bowl, Oregon, Kansas State.
Oregon, Kansas State.
Yeah. That's definitely number one. Oregon, Kansas State in the Fiesta Bowl. Of course, all the games are right here on ESPN Radio, including tonight's contest following basketball. So we've got Minnesota, Texas Tech for you as well. Always like to have fun with polls and lists and things that are out there. And I just want to say, I always should call up my man Buck and the Kearney Hub put out their top stories of the year in yesterday's paper. And pretty good, pretty close. I agree with most of them. And there's some really cool things to choose from there. I was surprised, especially knowing Buck and the staff that have been at UNK or been at Kearney, been at the Kearney Hub or have covered Kearney State UNK, that they didn't place the UNK entering into the MIAA higher. And maybe that was last year that they placed it higher. They just finally entered the competition. I think last year that was higher because I know how so many people that have grown up and lived in this area their entire life think that that is the biggest sports story of the year. Not following Kearney State and UNK there my whole life, then you have a little difference of opinion. But they put number one, the Kearney Little Leaguers, going to the Little League World Series, and I don't think you could put any story above that. Tervell Delagnev qualifying for the Olympics was number two, and then you got a drop-off. I don't know why you would put the Ravenna boys basketball ahead of the Kearney Catholic volleyball, considering Kearney Catholic was third all-class and was the only unbeaten team, but then you're just kind of nitpicking there. You got Tom McCann retiring as Kearney's wrestling coach. You've got UNK winning the National Wrestling Championship, and that just barely sneaks into the top five. You've got the Shrine Bowl and the state wrestling duels coming to Kearney. A lot of cool things as far as these top 10 sports stories.
Yeah, you know, I'm like you a little bit. The Kearney Catholic girls, I think, you know, the all class and what they did. I think maybe with the Ravana boys, you know, where they had to forfeit the 9 games or whatever it was, 7 games or whatever, and then the NSAA came back and gave it to them. That made it an interesting. I mean, that team was undefeated, and then they were 16-7 or whatever they were, and then they came back and got it. So maybe that was the reason why that beat Kearney Cali. But the two, like I say, could have been a tie. Those two, you know, easily just tie them for third.
So great year in sports, and hopefully 2013 will be just as good. And we will have another Doug and Daddy show coming your way on Monday, the day before the contest at the Capital One Bowl. One thing nationally that makes you wonder what's going on and makes you think, the firing of Avery Johnson yesterday, Jimmy, the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets, everybody seems to be having a problem with this. And I don't get it. So you're 14-14. And you're a billionaire. You can do whatever you want. But it definitely came from the owner. I want a different coach. That just seems weird to me.
Boy, it seems like we have a lot of changes all the time in coaching. You know, I coached for a lot of years, and I'm sure I made a lot of people mad, you know, with what I did, maybe. But, you know, game to game, I mean, you know, can you imagine going to any job in one bad day? Or, you know, I mean, it's very noticeable how you do in an athletic event. I mean, they put those things on the scoreboard. I mean, it's on TV. It's they're going to announce the winners. You know, they don't do that with your biology grade.
No.
You know, in school. I mean, no one puts, hey, you know, got a biology. But, you know, the biology teacher maybe had a bad week they're teaching. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. But in coaching, boy, people get fired from those jobs a lot. And it really seems like it in college and in the NFL and in, like, look at NBA, 14-14. I mean, what did they expect? I mean, 18-10? You know, I don't know. It's just,
the Nets ownership promised a championship within 5 years, Jeff says. But yeah, well, I think you still got 3 more years to work on that. It's just, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Bowl game started at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Frank Solich and his Ohio Bobcats against Louisiana Monroe in the Independence Bowl. Virginia Tech and Rutgers down in Orlando. Nebraska and Georgia are attending that football game in the Russa Athletic Bowl, and then tonight here on ESPN, Minnesota and Texas Tech in the Meineke Carcare Bowl. Don't forget Hastings basketball this afternoon at 4 on 1230 KHAS. Plenty of high school basketball, including Adams Central playing Hardington Cedar Catholic at 4 and 5:30 today as they won their first round games up in Wayne. And as far as the GNAC tournament goes, as we said, Hastings dropped their games yesterday, so on the boys' side, they will play Lexington at 7:15 tonight. And on the girls' side, Hastings will take on Lexington at 5:30. For Kearney, they will play the Scottsbluff boys, the number one seed, at 3:45, and the Kearney girls will play McCook at 5:30 in the GNAC tournament. So, best of luck to all the teams. Again, the Amherst Holiday Tournament at 1:30 here on ESPN, the Ravenna Holiday Tournament at 1 on Classic Hits 98.9. Want to thank Chip Towers of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution for joining us on today's Doug and Daddy Show. Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal star, live from Orlando as well to give us the Husker perspective. Coming up on Monday, it is our final Doug and Daddy Show, obviously, of 2012, and a lot more on the Capital One Bowl on New Year's Day. Plus, we'll see how you did in all your bowl games over the weekend for the Bowl Bonanza. Jimmy Langan, as always, thanks for being in.
Yeah, thank you.
We will see you tomorrow, Doug and Daddy Show, or Monday, I guess. We'll see you Monday, Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.